Okay. David, I think you're on. Can
Hi. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I was just going to, rather than ask that question, I was going to kind of comment that the concentration on competition is a very interesting thing, and it seems to be, I'm a kind of a newbie to the association, and I've returned to piping after about a 20-year hiatus, and it's fascinating to see the concentration on competition as a primary means by which to judge a person's capability. As far as grade level is concerned. And my comment back is, I don't, some people don't compete well, but they can actually perform well. And have a bring an understanding to the music and musicality that, may not work out in competitive environments, but, will work out by sheer dynamics that train and understanding and develop this position. So there's my comment to that.
Yeah, Dave, I think that you bring up an excellent point. And I think that what you're saying has been the primary motivation behind, these people. Roddy McDonald has been a pioneer in this project over the last couple of years in getting this up and running again.
Time out. Who's Roddy McDonald? Just for those who might not know.
Yeah, Roddy McDonald, is, a long time, adjudicator in our association. He's a past president and I believe was involved and the creation of the EUSPBA many years ago. He was he's originally from Scotland. He was the pipe major, former pipe major of the city of Wilmington back many years ago, and a longtime active teacher and adjudicator in our association who currently lives in Florida. And Roddy has done a lot of work on this project over the last year. And I think a lot of that work has been motivated by just the points that you bring up, Dave. However, getting back to, you know, the original question here, which is, I think that to see this program actually have any bearing on an upgrade, we have a lot of work to do yet. And the cool part about it is that there are people who are interested in doing this. There are people throughout the association who have an interest in working to improve this project and this program. And so that, you know, great. And so I think you'll see this continue to evolve.
I think, yeah, I think, David, one of the things with your question is that, you know, obviously the competition platform has certain strengths and weaknesses. One of the weaknesses, which I think, and this is, I'm not trying to put many words in Eric's mouth, but I think one of the weaknesses with a competitive program is that without a watchful eye, it slips into, you know, a highly conformist style of music where everything,
yes,
you know, where everything sort of remains, you know, it has to be played. And I think that's what you were getting at. Everything needs to be played a certain way in a certain style. And I think it's fair to say that's not really what we desire. I think we want to hear great performances is really ultimately how adjudicators are meant to judge contests. But whether or not that actually occurs is another thing. And I think that the PCP exams, you know, it's treading on, you're treading on dangerous ground there, because as soon as you start to require that, you know, people conform to one particular point of view through a test of some kind, then you could just be furthering this problem, which is that, the competitive platform does tend to breed conformity. So David, I think that's a really awesome question. I think that's really good. Anything else you want to add there?
And I wanted to get to our original question was what motivated you to become president? What were the burning issues that made you say, wow, okay, guess what, I want to try out and take all this on?
Hey, we just had a good write-in here. David, can you introduce yourself and give us just a really brief background? People want to know.
Oh, God, no. No, I'm a lowly grade 3 piper who really enjoys Pibroch. I'm a student of Yori Chisholm's, and I live in Baltimore. And I came out of this. I started back at 8 years old because my teacher had a show and tell where a bagpiper showed up. Played for about 15 years and stopped, and then came back into it and found a love for Pibroch. I'm enjoying my first year of competition. I'm competitive, but the teaching side, or this idea that you were mentioning that I'm unfamiliar with, as a supplement to a means by which achieving grades doesn't sound, as an outsider and a newbie's point of view, as necessarily a bad idea.
Yeah. Cool. Let me. I'll try and quickly answer your question here. It's a very very interesting question. Why did I want to become president? Well, I can tell you that over the last couple of years, I gained an interest in the EUS PBA a few years ago when my dad became the chairman of the Northeast Branch several years ago now, and started going to branch meetings. And I became good friends at that time with Carol Hackett, and Joe McGonigal was playing in the band, and the Orrin Warpipe band, who I play with, and he was the president of the EUS PBA, and started taking an interest in attending AGM meetings and getting involved. And the more I got, you know, as I went to the meetings and got involved, I found myself very interested and growing interest. And over the last couple of years, I found myself very frustrated with a few things that came up. And I spent a lot of time trying to think of who might be a great person to run for the association. I talked to a lot of people that I thought
would come to the same conclusion myself.
Would do a great job.
Me.
And eventually it just became, it just seemed like people said to me, well, why don't you do it? Why don't you do it? And at first, you know, I was not interested.
In his defense, this is true. I was one of these guys like, Eric, come on, save us.
And so eventually I decided to run. And it's so far, it's been very interesting, mostly fun.
What were the specific issues that were driving you? And with that question, I don't mean to monopolize, so I'll just shut up.
But, no, it's okay.
What were the things that were like, no, I think I could do a better job at X. I love this technology stuff. My background's in technology as well.
Yeah, cool. Well,
I'm glad to see this open up.
Yeah, well, there's a lot more coming on the technology front. We have a new website that is hopefully very, very, very close to being launched. Tom Crawford has been working really hard on this, and we should be in a position to make this new website public very, very soon. I've also been chatting with Jerry Finnegan, who does the results tabulation and working to improve the way that all our members are involved online, and for the ability for people to register online, keep your EUS PBA number from year to year, deal with roster changes online. I would like to see the way that games enter contest results be improved. Right now, it shocks me that contests last summer dealt with the problem that results got lost in the mail, and so certain results from various competitions weren't counted. I think that's crazy. I can't believe that we can't just, you know, load it onto a program and click enter and it's all set. There are people who are starting to work on that kind of stuff, and I think that the, you know, these projects are in the works, and certainly something that I'm interested in seeing improve. One of the topics that really got me going personally was the instructor rule. In the band that I play in and bands that I compete in, and I value that competition a lot, these bands have a lot of players who are made up of players who play or are active in their home bands and also in bands that they teach. And in upper grade bands, the Orrin Warpipe band is one of them, City Washington Stuart Highlanders. And the chatter that was going around was that this rule change would be greatly affecting some roster, all these bands' rosters going forward. And I just thought that was a big move in the wrong direction.
David, thanks very much. Thanks very much. Let's have some more hands out there, folks. Anybody? Oh, John Holcomb. I know John well. Hey, John, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Can you hear me?
Oh, we can hear you loud and clear, John.
Great. Hey, I just moved from Indiana a year ago to South Florida, and I'm still, I go to Piping Hot, and I go to Winter Storm, and I'm taking Skype lessons from my instructor in Indiana. My problem in South Florida on the East Coast is I've not been impressed with the piping I've heard, and I'm really trying to find a highly qualified instructor, but there's no list published. It seems like people would hurt somebody's feelings. So I'm wondering if EUSPBA publishes a highly qualified list of instructors and their location. so we get away from politics. I just want superb instruction.
Yeah, that's a good question. We do not at this time have anything like that available. That's a good question, though, and clearly something that might be very, very useful to members, especially, you know, in places like your, you know, players like yourself who relocate and don't know who to contact or who to reach out to. I don't know the answer to your question, although some people that I might be able to suggest might help you would be to get in touch with the Florida branch. The new chairman of that branch is Gary Holbert. He is working really, really hard to address all the members in Florida. And he would definitely have a better sense for who was in that area and who those teachers might be to be able to help you out.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I know that name. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. If you go out to the EUSPBA.org website, on the front page, it lists all the branch contact on the sidelines. On the side of that page, and you can find his email address out there.
Great. Thanks again.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Congratulations.
Thanks very much.
Okay, we got a question from Matt Wood. Hey, Matt, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Oh, it sounds like you're calling in on the phone.
Yes, I am. It's much easier for me.
Matt, can you just tell us briefly where you're from and a teeny tiny background?
Absolutely. Matt Wood. I'm the director of Rory O'Moore School of Pipes and Drums. I've been playing bagpipes for quite some time. And I have two comments. The last question was pretty good, but I think the same line would be to have some listing of bands and contacts so that for those of us that run games, we have an easy way to contact bands. Currently, there's almost no way to do that.
That's very interesting. I think...
Eric, are you writing this down?
Yeah, I think that one of the things that we're hoping is going to be improved with the new website technology is the ability for all that and all bands' information to be made available online, and so that people can see where bands are located, who's in these bands, you know, and be able to, you know, address any roster issues and that kind of thing all online. Where everybody can see what's going on. I think that's still a little bit of a project that's in the works, but I think once that gets up and running, that would hopefully try and address that a little bit.
I did notice that the Midwest, I think it's the Midwest or the West Coast, has all their bands listed with contacts.
Yeah, the USPBA website currently lists all the bands' websites who put their bands out there. If you put your band out there, your link is on the website, and so
are they sorted geographically? Though
no, it's kind alphabetical.
It's crazy, and we're a much bigger association than like the Midwest.
It's actually very outdated as well.
Yeah. Is it?
I think Orin Moore's old webpage is still the link there. Uh-huh. I emailed them a while back, but I don't know if they've changed it. You know.
Yeah, that's. I like it. Good point.
Yeah, Matt, that's good, and I wrote that down on behalf of Eric.
And I'd like to comment on the PCP program, as our band probably ran the only event or large event recently for that.
Sure.
And Adams, we had a lot of adults that refused to take the PCP program because of an essay.
Yeah.
At grade 5 level, having an essay of 100 words of why I want to play bagpipes, I thought, okay, that's silly, until I started thinking about all the students I teach. And it would be really nice to know why they want to do it. Further than that, maybe you're right. But at an entry level of students, I think it's actually very helpful. But the PCP went off fairly well. I agree with Eric. It does need to grow. It does need to have some changes and adjustments. But definitely at a lower level, I thought it was very good. And our band is actually taking the effort of teaching people that are interested the ground of a P-Brook. A two-parted march, a four-parted march, two-parted chaspet, two-parted reel, in the hopes of doing this again next year.
Yeah, that's really
cool. There's
some doubts,
there's some naysayers about the program.
Yeah.
I think it went off pretty well.
Yeah, I can say I was actually involved a little bit in helping the Rory O'Moore band prepare for this. And while I feel like, you know, the program does have some work to do, the spirit behind which the band approached this, which was, you know, here is a group, a band who has a grade 5 band and a grade 4 band, and trying to figure out a way to direct their off-season preparation and improve technical skill and ability. And how do you do that? And this was a way to put everybody moving in the same direction. And that part of it was very good and I thought went very well. So.
Yeah. You know, that, Matt, what you're saying kind of reminds me of back in the day when you used to want to get upgraded. I think I always wrote a letter and it was like always very deep and meaningful. And they've moved away from that now with the weird form that they do, which I think is weird.
Yeah.
People coming up to me asking still, for signatures.
There stuff. are still people who write in letters, which do get read. You know, a lot of the grading committee, I know, just spent a lot of time trying to figure certain things out. And anybody who sent in a letter, it was, you know, it was definitely part of the consideration.
Yeah, I have, let's see, Matt, thanks very much. I'm going to turn you off and we'll go to a couple more questions here. I think maybe Matt, oh, I guess he's gone. Okay, anybody, who's next? We got another question from Andy Adams, but I want to give other people a shot if they want to raise their hands. Okay, here's Daniel. Daniel, you're on the line. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. I think I might have just pressed that by mistake because I'm trying to do this.
Go ahead, Daniel. What's your question?
Yes, sorry about that. I think I might have just pressed that on accident. So I'm kind of new to this at the moment.
So you don't want to ask a question?
Yeah, I'm kind of just kind of trying to get used to the interface here. So apologies for that, everyone.
No problem. Who's next? Let's Andy. Oh, okay. Here's Brian Morgan. Hey, Brian, how you doing? Can you introduce yourself real quick?
Sure. First, I just wanted to say I really like this idea. I think it's going well. So congratulations on putting it together.
Thank you.
Just a little background on myself. My name is Brian Morgan. I'm a Basin Center adjudicator, a snare drummer in the Stewart Highlanders, and a teacher of grade 5 bands, basically, at this point. My question is just about scoring. It's something that comes up quite a bit over the last couple of years, and I'm curious, right now we have the 60-40 split, and I'm curious if Eric thought that would be changing in the future, or if it's something that we plan on going forward with.
Brian, great question. I am very pleased to tell you that following the EUSPBA AGM this year, there was a proposal from the Northeast branch to change the split to 50% piping, 25% drumming, and 25% ensemble, which the executive committee voted and approved. And that will be going into place this coming competition season. We're in the process of getting the word out about that right now. The first, obviously, the biggest topics that we had to get the word out about were the instructor rule and the grade 4 PREC and the regrades. And there's certainly a lot of other things on our plate right now, but that is something that we just voted to approve, and that will be a change going into effect this coming competitive season.
Anything else you want to add there, Brian?
Sure. Just one more thing. Do you ever foresee us, now that we've been kind of using 5 judges at some of the games, do you ever see us going to more than one ensemble judge?
Good question. I definitely think that improving the way that we judge contests and especially with the value of the ensemble, I think that might be well worth looking into. It could be very cool to have, you know, a couple snare drumming judges and a couple of ensemble judges, a couple more piping judges, and, you know, get more people out there. Of course, at the same time, there's the whole issue with, you know, having higher games than having a burden to hire more judges, and how does that all work? And, you know, we spin around in circles in talking about that. But I think hopefully at some point, you know, things will improve a little bit in the way and the amount of judges that are, you know, involved in making the decision over band contests.
Great. Thanks, guys. I'll jump off. Let it continue.
Thanks,
all
Brian.
All right, Brian. Thanks. Next up, we have Dan Cleary, who he's from the Albany area. We know Dan pretty well. Hey, Dan, can you hear us?
Yeah, how you doing?
Pretty good, Dan. How about yourself?
Mm-hmm. I'm good, thank you. First off, congratulations, Eric.
Thanks, Dan.
And just kind of a comment or a question, you know, none of the association information really trickles down, at least to my band, to individual members. And I don't think a lot of members know the function or the benefit of the association, and certainly aren't members at the individual level. And I think there's a lot of area that could be improved in that, to kind of go to the leadership of the bands and say, hey, you know, why don't you sell us to the individual members, and even talking to people about looking up the website and seeing what's out there.
Yeah,
kind of a general comment.
Yeah, no, I think you're right on the money. It's one of, you know, I think that most people in the association have no clue really what's going on. And I can tell you from my short experience that all the people who are involved in the USBBA spend a lot of time put a lot of their own personal time and effort into working on behalf of all the members of the association. And I agree that at the moment, I think we do not a very good job of communicating this information back to the membership. I'm certainly open to ideas and suggestions that anybody might have on ways we can do this. The USPBA just not too long ago started a Facebook page, which is proving to be a successful form or way to communicate information to the association. And anyone who is a fan of the association on Facebook, we're trying to improve our website. We had the Voice in the last year or so has made big improvements, and we're trying to improve the way that, you know, we communicate information in the Voice. This webinar tonight seems like a very cool idea and cool tool to be able to communicate also with the membership. And so certainly if anybody has any suggestions about how we can do more, I'm all ears.
Well, I think you can even just, you know, send out something targeting even, you know, the presidents of each of the bands, and just ask them to, you know, let the members know that while the band may be a member, individuals can join too, and there's benefit to doing that, you know, and then of course that, hopefully that increases the financial aspect of the association. But,
cool. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks a lot, Dan. We're going to move on. We're going to move on to Scott Curry, who's got his hand raised here. Hey, Scott, can you hear us? It's coming. Can you say that again, Scott? It sounds like maybe he's not coming in, right?
Yeah, I don't hear anything.
We'll try back in a second here, Scott.
Okay.
You're on now. We can hear you now.
Okay. I actually didn't have my hand raised. I must have pressed something by accident.
How are you doing?
Sorry, guys.
You calling over from Glasgow now?
Yep.
That's very cool. Thanks for accidentally raising your hand. It's very, very cool.
Anything.
We'll leave you alone now. Okay, who's next here? Let's go to Andy's question. He's had his hand raised for a while. So we're back to Andy. Hey, Andy.
Hey, guys. So my second and last question is this. I know that for the 2012 season, the USPBA has officially changed grade 4 from quick march medley to essentially a mini MSR. Will there be opportunities for bands in grade 4 to play a mini MSR at contests this year? I understand that it wouldn't be sanctioned, but it would work well for bands that are planning to go to Scotland that might be competing in grade 4A, where the requirement over there would be MSR. I would like to know Eric's thoughts on that.
Yeah. Andy, thanks. You know, this is the topic that came up at the AGM. I can tell you that I personally have mixed feelings about this rule change, but a lot of grade 4 pipe majors approached us about being interested in this rule change. And people generally seem to think that it was a great, you know, it was a good step forward and would make it aligned with the 4A competitive requirements in Scotland. And it would improve make the gap between moving into grade 3 easier, which at the moment, you know, is arguably a very big jump to move from grade 4 bands to grade 3 bands. this year, officially sanctioned wise, you know, there is no, I mean, we don't have any events planned for mini MSR, like you said. If bands were looking to play an extra event at contest, like I said earlier on, the EUSPBA does not directly tell any games what events they have to run. We just give them options for what they are able to run, and games are able to select from that. I can tell you from experience with Orrin Moore, when we are hoping to have extra or additional events offered, the best option is to approach the games committee directly and ask them about being able to work an extra event in. And most times, if time permits, which is always a factor, the games committee, as long as you are respectful and give them notice, can be very accommodating. My suggestion to any band going over to Scotland this year to play in grade four, it would be that you use your medley as a foundation for your mini MSR, where your medley would be, you know, the front half of your medley would be your mini MSR, and then, and then add on the rim there as a way to get practice on that material here in the U.S. before traveling over.
But wouldn't that, if you did that and you went to Scotland and competed with your mini MSR and you made it through the qualifier, wouldn't you then have to play your regular medley? And if that were the case,
Scotland, I do not believe in Scotland that grade four bands play medleys.
Ever. Okay. My mistake.
Which is rare. Thank you for making that mistake, Andy.
Okay, thanks.